You're listening to the Love Yegg Show. If our city could talk, these are the stories it would tell about the people, places, and passion in Edmonton. We interview difference makers in our community. Please welcome your hosts, Sherry Beauchamp and Jesse McCracken.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Love Yegg Show. I'm here with my co-host, Jesse McCracken.
Hello, and we've got a whole team here today.
We do. We do. We have an incredible team here today. These guys are pretty special to us because when we started the Love Yegg, the Legacy Yegg stuff, I was asking around for an event space. Where do you guys think would be really cool, unique, local pub, some really cool people that would be interested in hosting this thing? And these guys' names came up like multiple times, more than once. And actually, Jesse were one of them that was like, you guys need to go and talk to Scott and Jason at the Provincial. And we also have Aaron from the Provincial as well. So welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Do you want to, Jesse, do you want to kind of tell everybody how you know these guys?
Yeah, well, you know, so this isn't my old Earl's crew. So from 99, I guess, or no, maybe 2000, 2001. So a little bit later than that. And
Earl's 170th. Earl's 170th.
Yeah, 170th, right. West End Earls. And yeah, that's kind of how we had met. We've kind of stayed in touch over the years and just kind of run into each other. They've had some pretty, you know, they've always been kind of a bit of a staple in the food and beverage industry here in Edmonton, and just really awesome people. So that's kind of how they came up. And they've really opened their arms up to us and their business up to the Legacy Yegg Group. And it's just been totally a really great experience to kind of reconnect as well.
Totally.
Yeah.
Very cool. So you guys are owners of the Provincial Kitchen
yes.
and Bar. And you guys are also involved in a couple different things around the city. I know the riverboat stuff, you guys do catering. Kind of just give people a synopsis of... You guys got your hands in a lot of stuff.
Scotty, go ahead, bud.
I think you pretty much summed it up.
Yeah.
I think we just started doing catering for friends and events. Jay started doing events ages ago. We got involved with Porkapalooza, and we somehow got involved with K-Days and Northlands. And we just really enjoyed it. It's a ton of fun to get out in the community and get out of the four walls of the Provincial, which, you know, we're there a ton. So we started kind of focusing on that side of our business, which led to catering, which we love. We've always had a Red Seal chef at Provincial, so we take food fairly seriously. And it's just okay. Where the fun is. So we wanted to keep going with it. So we're actually going to start focusing more on that side of our business. And then that being said, we got into the riverboat as well, which is an extremely fun project. We ended up just loving it on the boat. It's tough. You know, there's lots of challenges with being on a boat, but it's a great project. We're hoping it still goes this year, because it's a really expensive, business for the owner. And you know, with the virus and everything going around, he's not sure if he's going to go for it this year or not, but hopefully he does because it's a ton of fun. It's just a ton of fun.
I mean, it's so Edmontonian, you know, it's just like, it's just like a staple of our city.
It's funny because like for the longest time, like as long as I've lived in Edmonton, we've never really done tours, or myself personally, never done tours on the Edmonton Queen or the Edmonton Riverboat now. And it wasn't until this past summer, I could count probably hundreds of cruises and sails just the summer alone. You take it for granted. Like you see Edmonton in a totally different perspective, and
totally, and
it's beautiful just to see it, the skyline to the river valley. It's incredible. So yeah, we're very fortunate to have a summer that we spent on the boat, and it's been tons of fun for sure. So fingers crossed that it's going this year. But
Yeah, just to touch on your guys' catering too. So you guys have catered like two events for myself and for the brokerage, and honestly, like our comments from our agents and from the people that came to my party is like the food was just like top notch, and it was like the service was fun, the setup was awesome. Like you guys just did such an amazing job.
Thank you.
It was just awesome, and 100% we'll have you like every time. You know, there's not even another option at this point because it's been like just stellar both times.
I think we just enjoy it so much, and the chefs we have always been so passionate about food that they take care of the hard part, because the food is the hard part.
Yeah.
And you know, a chef takes care of that, and then Jay and I and Aaron get to go and have fun. You know, it's we're really lucky we get to do it. It's an awesome part, and then we get to literally let our hair down and go have fun at a party with, you know, people like you.
Yeah. No, it was good. Like I said, at the Christmas party where I knew I wanted oysters, and that was just selfishly that I wanted fresh oysters. But like the amount of our agents that tried them for the first time was just like so awesome, you know? And it's just amazing how like food just brings people together. And I mean, you know, and just the different experiences that come with food. So I thought that was just like a really great thing to even just bring us together as a group in the office, you know, that for everybody that tried for the first time. So yeah, like I said, you guys' catering isn't like limited to one thing. Like I got to like create my own menu, you know, for both parties at my favorite things. So that was pretty fun.
Yeah, Aaron and Scott actually just did a catering event at another Earl's 170th alumni, Mercedes.
Yes, yeah, I did an event,
and I'm sure Aaron could probably touch on that and how we added kind of different components to it and different foods, and it was just a really cool atmosphere. And I was sad that I missed it, but yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's like a lot of fun, like going into different spaces and like having the opportunity to like really create something from scratch, and but yeah, just be outside of provincial once in a while. It's like a great place to network and meet people and really experiment and get creative with what we do, which is super exciting.
You guys were at Lexus as well, right? Yeah. Yeah. So the thing that I wouldn't have known before is that like that red seal chef component, you think it's a pub and it's like beer and wings and that kind of thing, but the food is amazing.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed the food at all of Jesse's parties.
good.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about, obviously right now the world is changing and we've been through sort of this interesting time where, you know, today's March 19th when we're recording this, you know, a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago, we lived in a very different world. I think Jason, you're maybe on a beach somewhere in Mexico, you know, like it was very, very different. Yeah. And I wanted just to ask you guys about, like, I know we're still kind of in the middle of it and no one really knows what the crystal ball or the end picture looks like, but like, how are you guys handling this? How are you guys on a personal level? And then maybe on a business level as well, like, how are you guys operating and, you know, what kind of things are you noticing or coming across, or, you know, what's your guys' take on what's going down right now?
For me personally, it was crazy. Yeah, you're right. I was at this time last week, I was in a pool in Cancun and got a message from Scotty saying that all flights coming into Canada from another country have a 14-day self-quarantine or self-isolation. And that was something that they didn't think would ever happen, mandated by the government.
Totally.
So we got back to our rooms and kind of just looked at our Twitter and websites and emails and text. And yeah, we just thought the best was to cut our trip short and come back to Edmonton. So really it was crazy because it happened so fast. Like it was a matter of coronavirus just being something that we should be cautious of to every major major sports shutting down, to big companies like Disneyland shutting down, Disney World shutting down, and then all of a sudden Alberta kind of made the announcement. So it just happened so fast, and last thing we wanted was to be kind of stuck in another country, whether we get ill or if Canada were to close the borders or Alberta close their borders, that we couldn't fly in. So we just wanted to be safe and travel back. So, but yeah, it's crazy. And then since then, I've been kind of on this 14-day self-isolation and yeah, it's been difficult. It's been difficult just being, I think, able-bodied and able to help. Like I don't think I'm ill or I'm sick. Nothing has been stated that we were on a flight that had known cases of the coronavirus, nor was I in contact with anybody with the virus. So, but yeah, it's a strange thing to be physically able to help, but you're kind of helpless in your space. Knowing how Scott and Aaron been working tirelessly for the last 6-7 days to kind of get things organized, get our staff, events. It's I'm grateful for them to obviously step up and be there, but also disappointed in the fact that I can't be there to help them as well. So it's been a roller coaster for sure of emotions.
And I haven't lived like a month in the matter of like a few days, you know, like have things been changing and it's kind of like like you say, it's a roller coaster.
Yeah, it evolved fast. Yeah,
because it's like we all knew it was kind of happening elsewhere in the world, but like how rapidly it changed for us as like Canadians and Albertans that knew something was happening. Well, we knew it was happening in Europe, but it didn't really affect us. And then like pretty much overnight, it became so crazy in Canada. Where like, yeah, like Jay was in literally Mexico on a beach and we're like, oh yeah, everything's fine. And the next day it's like, hey, everyone needs to come home now because it's becoming that big of a thing. It's like how much the climate, like around the world, but especially here in Edmonton, like how much you really notice the change from even Sunday night, how much it's changed.
And Scott, you got little ones at home and you're a teacher dad now. And
it's true. I didn't think Jay really did much until all of a sudden his 75 hours a week was gone. And then I was like, oh my goodness, who's going to fill this gap? Because Jay doesn't have kids and he works a ton. And then all of a sudden he's taken out of the equation and it's like, well, who normally does all these things? And it's like, oh, it's Jay and he can't, or it's Erin and she's, you know, doing something else. And it, you know, you get a really quick appreciation for like, it is a 3-man job there. It's, you know, air does so much stuff and Yenny does so much stuff. And then we're trying to kind of fill in the gaps, but it's been difficult, obviously. I think we've really worried about our staff a ton and we kind of got to make some decisions about those things. And they're really hard. You know, we always kind of consider ourselves a family and, you know, like Erin gets calls all the time for personal favors and things that she can do to help. And that's the first place your head goes, because they're probably, you know, we're older and we're a little more fortunate and we're a little more comfortable, and service industry can be tough. You know, it's a tipping type of industry. And, you know, I feel like, you know, some of our staff are going to struggle and it's hard to watch, but like Jay said, you feel very kind of helpless too. Like, you know, eventually you got to let the government take over and hopefully, you know, throw a few lifelines, because we for sure can't, you know, fix everybody, but you know, there's a lot of good we can do and we're trying to do it. And it's the first thing we thought of, which is good. We have a good crew of people, so we're lucky.
That's awesome. I mean, you can just tell being around you guys, like how there's a different types of leadership. I think we kind of had this conversation a little bit earlier today, Jesse, about like, you know, heart-centered businesses and operators and people who are, they truly lead with their hearts. And you guys have created this really cool thing, which we get to peek in and out of once in a while with events and that kind of thing. But you know, it's really, I think Edmonton is blessed with so many leaders that are like that, and you guys are obviously fit that mold perfectly. And the fact that, you know, that we have to make these decisions or even think about doing some of these things, it's really tough.
I'm sure Jess, you must feel that as well. Like,
yeah, you know, 100%. And, you know, I think it's been a tough year in real estate already for a lot of people. And, you know, we've got 70 agents and 3 full-time staff. And then, you know, some of us have assistants. And so for sure, it's just like, we don't know where it's going to go yet. Like right now, our office is still busy. But, you know, I suspect there's going to be a good 60, 90 days that are going to be pretty rough. And yeah, you just like, you know, I feel like extremely grateful for the situation that I'm in. But I also have this like a tremendous amount of guilt, you know, that like, oh my gosh, like how is everybody else going to get through this? Or how is this person, you know what I mean? When I already know kind of what situations that some people are in. So yeah, it is very interesting. And it's, you know, you really have to just trust that that, you know, the government's going to do it. They, you know, they really are, seems to be standing up. And, you know, some of our licensing fees were due kind of at the end of March, and the real estate board put those off until June. And so there is some really great things that are happening that I know are release a lot of stress from people. So it's certainly a journey, and still, like, we don't really even know what's going to look like yet. You know, we know that we're going to have to make some changes. What those are going to be is, like, it's going to be just lots of tough conversations, and I'm sure some tears, and yeah, it's like I said, the unknowns is, it's interesting, you know, but I also, like I said, I'm a firm believer that there is light in like some of these dark times. And I think we just really need to focus on some of the positives that are going to come out of this, and just trust that, you know, our ability to be able to get back on our feet when we're able to, you know. And I think that, and persevere. And I think that, you know, the industry that you guys are in and the industry that I'm in, it really is a service business, you know. So we just have to continue serving our people. And, you know, maybe we can't, not like we did before, but find a different way to do that. So, you know, and also just give ourselves this time, because we all work really hard, you know. And so sometimes these, like, forced breaks are good too. So we just need to take advantage of the time that we're given stuck at home. Yeah.
I don't think you can go through something like this as a person, or just in general, you know, as a human being, and come out the same on the other side, right?
Yeah.
You know, what I look forward to on the other side is, like, the growth that comes out of it, and the way that we become more effective and more efficient in what we do as business people and as individuals. You know, you get to really prioritize what, design a life that you actually want, right?
Well, I just think too, I mean, we got to make sure that we make use of this time. Like, I had a couple of people say to me, like, oh, well, you know, I don't know, my boss is going to keep me on, you know. And I'm like, wait a minute, like, you're still valuable when you're at home. Like, what could you be improving on in these last, like, you know, year that you've been employed, or 2 years have been employed? Like, there's a lot of ideas and stuff. Like, I think there's gonna be a lot of pent up, you know, ideas that we've got, that if we just put them out there, then we're going to come out, you know, stronger on the other end. So I think you have to just use this time wisely as well. You know, don't look at it as like, oh, I'm stuck at home, it's such a waste, right? It's, there is certain things that we all can improve on. There's lots of podcasts, there's just lots of opportunities to better yourself. So I think it's just reminding ourselves to, like, we could have naps in the afternoon, we could do these things, but there still is, like, you know, proactive things and productive things we need to be doing with ourselves.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
So are you guys like born and raised Edmontonians? What's sort of your relationship with the city? Have you guys, like, moved here at some point in your life? Like, what's your guys' relationship with YAG?
Born and raised Southside, yeah. YAG.
Nice.
I'm never gonna leave.
Very good.
It's always kind of been my home. So yeah. I can't imagine living anywhere else now that I've been here for 29 wonderful years. So
yeah. Oh, you're such a baby.
Wise beyond her years.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
I was a Grand Prairie boy, and then we moved to the big city after traveling Europe and Australia with all my best friends. Moved to Edmonton because it was new and exciting, and the next phase. And I met Yenny and everybody at Earl's on 170th Street, and, you know, it opened me up to a group of great people, and I love the hospitality industry, and I dabbled in other things here and there, but I kept coming back to this industry and always wanted to be an entrepreneur. So I've stuck myself in South Edmonton, and it's where I'm going to stay for at least 20 more years. So it's good.
Yeah.
I'm Montreal born, Edmonton raised. So not even a year old and moved to Edmonton. So, but yeah, I guess Edmonton is my home, but a part of me is still like, I still love Montreal, obviously the bagels, the food, things like that. But yeah, if anybody would ask, Edmonton is home. And yeah, I've got family here, I have roots kind of established, and businesses and friendships, and that's kind of, you know, like, it's kind of it for me. This is home. So
it's so funny, right? I mean, I think we all really do like to travel, but it's amazing how, like, I mean, even I've moved a couple different places, and I've always been my best self when I'm here, you know. And mm-hmm. it It's just interesting that I still, it's a city, but it really, we talk about this, you know, Sharon and I, even just like it has that small town feeling, you know, mm-hmm. where it's like you've got lots of community here and people are just like really loyal and people just really want to support local, which I think is just awesome. You know, Edmontonians really do stick together. And I think that's something that we're very fortunate about. And so like, speaking of this, I know that you guys do some, outside of allowing us into your space for our, Legacy YAG meetings, but you guys do give back in, many ways. So do you just want to tell us a little bit about some of the stuff that you guys do for our city, as far as, I know you have like a Christmas meal and some other things.
The same reason we like to do catering. We like to get involved in other things. We've not even officially set it up, but we have like a My Community Foundation. And all our catering and stuff, we set aside a little percentage of the sales to go towards mainly food things, anything that has to do with food. Obviously, we like to feed kids. And right now, we're looking at using those funds to do community dinners. I think some people have fallen on really hard times. And like I said, we're really lucky. Like, we are really lucky. We can give back and we can do those things. And Aaron and Jay just have so many connections as well. Like, when Yenny calls Cisco and he asks for, you know, a ton of food, usually we don't even have to pay for it. We just get it and we get our chef to cook it up, or we go flip pancakes at a school or whatever it is. It's something we really want to focus a little more time on. Time is the thing that we all try to find, but it's also the best part. It's the best part, like to get out there and feed people. We just have so many food connections. It's just what kind of works for us, you know. We want to put more time into it and really get out there, but like what you guys do, it's such a great thing. It feels good. It makes everybody happy, and you know, we want to just keep doing those things. It's the way to go.
We started this tradition back at our West End Earls location, where Scott kind of had this really cool idea where we kind of pool our tips and we go out and we buy gifts for kids in the neighborhood, whether it be the Stollery or whether it be for the Zebra Foundation or whichever it is. But something we've always done, there's a group of us, five or six of us, and we always kind of go to the store and we act like kids at like a Toys R Us or a Walmart. We buy a bunch of toys and kind of play Santa for a day. So it's something that we kind of done for the longest time, and tradition has kind of grown to what we're trying to do now. We want to do more in the community, more dinners, more or just people around that are less fortunate and that could use a little something. I mean, yeah, I guess we have the means to do it. We have the space to help and or to provide for people that need it. And yeah, we just want as much as positive as we can right now to help in any way we can. So
that's amazing.
The social side of it too is really important, because I think there's a lot of people out there that just also, I think you alluded to it earlier, like food does connect people. You know, it can get groups of people together. Obviously, you don't want groups of people together right now, but getting groups together to talk and to hang out. And we've talked about doing just like a guys' night or, you know, a ladies' night where people can just get together and have food and just socialize and mingle. And there's no pressure and there's no, you know, they don't have to worry about the bill at the end. Like, we got lots of great ideas for things we want to do. But it's also like food also is just about, you know, gathering spaces and getting people together and, you know, connecting and friends. And it's super important right now. Everyone's in their phone and those connections just aren't the same as, mm-hmm. you know, the face to face. So
you guys are big into music too. Yeah. You guys were doing some, a few live shows and things like that. You're still into that?
Yeah. I think, we in the first year of provincial, we hosted a band from Vancouver, the Boom Booms.
Oh my gosh, they're so good.
They're so good. They're incredible. I've seen them play several times in Edmonton venues. And yeah, we had the opportunity to have them at Provincial. And we had them our first year. And it's one of those events where we were just first year, we were all exhausted and had the idea to bring this band in. Scott's like, I don't know if it's going to work. I'm like, I'm going to do it anyway. See what happens. And sure enough, we were lined up and the bar was rammed and it was just a great energy and a great vibe in there. And that was probably the event that I would say that helped kind of put Provincial on the map, so to speak. So we kind of had a good time at that. And then we kind of always wanted to do festivals and always wanted to do just bigger shows, being involved at KDA's Porkapalooza. A friend of mine, Nathan, he had a music festival at Horlock Park a couple of years back called Open Sky Music Festival. It was a reggae rock Festival and Surf Rock Festival, and it was great, and I helped them with that organizing it. And just to see people's kind of reaction to music is pretty incredible. It's one of those things where you can sit in and just share a common bond in a song or a lyric or just the vibe in general, and it's just another way of just getting people together. So, but yeah, music is always something that we always wanted to do. Scott and I, that's our goal one day, is to open up a music festival in the city. So yeah, just thought I'd probably add more to that.
Sweet.
Maybe just not this year, right?
Not this year.
Yeah. No. So what are you guys doing right now at the provincial? So are you guys doing like to-go meals or anything like that? Like, or are you guys, what is your plan kind of going through this as of like right now? Because obviously we know that this can change.
Yeah. So right now, currently noon till 8. We also have a full bar right now. Obviously we limit our capacity to 50 people. Mm-hmm. Kind of took away half the tables just to really create like visible space between people.
Yeah.
And just like encouraging people, like if you're not feeling well, stay at home, please. Cause it's just for the better of everyone. And our staff the same kind of, we're just taking care of like the core group of staff that like really need to be working right now. And like, again, like we feel so much connection and responsibility for our staff that it's hard to like, to keep trying to progress and in a safe way, but also a way that's kind of taking care of them.
Mm-hmm.
So as of right now, that's what we're doing, but current climate, we could change tomorrow or 5 seconds from now, so
literally. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So will you guys continue to do takeout even if, you know, we get to a point where you have to close the restaurant, like, or close the doors, I guess?
It's a great question. You know what, we're honestly we're literally taking it like a minute at a time. We don't currently do Skip the Dishes or Uber Eats or anything like that. We didn't love the quality that went out that way from us. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a need for it now, obviously, but we're still pretty undecided. It's been in the back of our minds that we should do it, but we just have bigger problems like mm-hmm. right now, like bigger mm-hmm. decisions to make. And we're literally taking it.
Yeah.
Like, every hour we have a different idea, or can we try this, or let's, you know, so I guess it's not really, Jay's been kind of working on it. So it's an option. We want it to be an option if we want to do it. So it is available to us. We haven't really decided where we're going to go with it yet, though.
Yeah, I've been talking to Skip and Uber Eats and other delivery services, but for right now, it's kind of just curbside pickup and in-store pickup. So things like that we're kind of offering, but not doing any off sales, just want to keep it legit, just food. But yeah, it's been a trying time. It's one of those things where like Scott and Aaron are kind of taking the lead on that, and they're kind of running it because they're on the front lines really and kind of navigating provincial through this right now and seeing what works and what doesn't. And I'm kind of just adding my 2 cents in the background, being in self-isolation, not quarantine isolation. So it's hard to say because everyone's kind of struggling with it right now, whether you want to stay open. And there's a lot of, I guess, I don't want to say it in a negative way, like social pressures to stay closed and to kind of do our social responsibility, our community responsibility to kind of keep that social distancing away and kind of preventing hubs and everything. But like Scott mentioned before, we have staff that we have to, that we care for. We want to make sure that they have the ability to work if needed and leaving that option open for them to be there on their own fruition and not forcing them to do it. And it's just keeping them paid. I mean, a lot of them require that hourly wage to survive and to live and put food on their table. So we want to make sure everyone's kind of taken care of. Like it's a weird time right now.
Mm.
Like we want to obviously take care of our business and making sure that we have something to come back to once everything kind of gets back to normal. But also we have this obligation to make sure that we take care of our staff as well and make sure that we help in any way we possibly can. So
like, obviously there's a lot of people in that boat. I'm always the eternal optimist. I think, you know, when we get back to a place where people can go out and have a beer and meet up with friends, you know, I just really think that we're gonna figure it out. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think people are gonna go out and support businesses, and they're going to go out and help everybody get back on their feet, whether that's like going in and spending money or volunteering in some way or like contributing back. I think that's just the kind of people that live in the city. And that's like the majority of people are just, they're wanting to help even now as they're sitting at home being like, man, this sucks, right? They're feeling what you're talking about, Jason, where it's like, I'm physically able and like mentally, but I'm just like this whole social isolation thing. It's like trippy, right? So it's kind of, I mean, it's an interesting thing.
Jason's just such a social being, you know? So he's like, ah!
Totally.
I think we should all just grab a drink now and have a drink. Together, I could just cheer someone.
Totally. Actually, we opened a bottle of red wine last night, and I haven't had red wine in like such a long time. Trevor's like, "Do I need to go to the liquor store?" And I'm like,
"Yes."
Yes.
Right? Yeah. No, it's funny. I was even watching the news, and somebody's like, well, "I'm going to the liquor store because the end of the world's happening. I'm going to make sure I'm drunk." Not quite there, but it's just funny what people like need, you know, if they're thinking they're going to be locked up for a couple of weeks. I always said that poutine was my deserted island food. So if I end up on a deserted island and I could have one thing, it's poutine. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I don't have fries, gravy, or cheeseburgers.
We'll supply that for you. We'll supply that.
I was going to say, they make the best poutine, yeah.
You got a mean turkey poutine. So we'll
go. I know. I had it at the party. Do you remember? That was like one of my, our staples was
Right, it was.
Yeah, so one thing that I was saying to Sherry today too is that I was feeling like, again, is like in this moment, what can we do to give back, you know, because it's in our nature. And that's, I think, one of the hardest things right now is that, you know, even on the news, they're saying that there's less people volunteering. There's, you know, there's all of these things, right? So you have this like, okay, where, what can I do and where can I bring like, you know, that extra bit of light to people. And I think that's one thing that I know that I'm struggling with right now, because again, I feel fortunate. I see people that are like, you know, homeschooling their kids and they're in a much smaller space than I am and all of these things. So it is one of those things where it's like, okay, how can I touch people? And have you guys been thinking about that? Like what you're going to do during this kind of time, and or is it just FaceTime messages, or what is your guys' plan there or thoughts on it really?
I know I've been pretty focused on the shock of having my kids, to be honest. It's awesome and I love it, but it's been pretty full on. Just the teachers, I don't know, they do so much, and nurses are doing so much, and it's hard to you know, figure it all out quickly. Mm-hmm. props to Trudeau. Like, I'm not a Trudeau lover, but I thought he has done a pretty good job of covering a lot of the bases. And you know, we're obviously looking at our own little world and trying to make decisions, and mm-hmm. it's hard. Like, you know, I know we're not going to waste any food at Prov. We went and talked to the chef today, and I'm like, if we have to just cook all this and just literally drive around and give it away, like this, just, it cannot go in the garbage, because yeah, obviously most restaurants are seeing sales down 80-90%. So
yeah, the mustard seed was partnering with like three restaurants in the city for like food and stuff like that. And, I love to reach out to them and find a way for us to donate some of product and food. And Scott had a really great idea about doing kind of like packaged meals. That's to give the families that are less fortunate and just say, hey, come by, pick up some food. We have items X, Y, Z for you to pick up and stuff like that. So that's something that Scott kind of talked about. But once we kind of,
Well, once you know, right?
Again. Once we know, it's
what we know.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah,
we're like kind of, probably like a week into this, let's say, right? Like at the time, mm-hmm. kind of like wrapping our brains around this. Obviously, it's like still the beginning, probably. But like, what's the biggest thing that you guys have noticed, or the biggest thing that you've realized maybe about yourself or about like the community, or you know, the biggest eye opener that you guys have had so far?
Well, for me personally, I've never been like, I never feel lonely. I like being alone, but I don't ever feel lonely. I have enough people, enough friends and family, and I get enough social interaction. But something that I have realized is that, yeah, you do feel kind of lonely. But then again, you do get messages from people kind of like asking how you're doing, and you get messages about, you see about support local YEG, and you see how the community kind of coming together and encouraging other people to support local businesses. And that's something that you're seeing a lot more of a time like this. And I know everyone's impacted by this, not just local businesses, but just schools, the students, things like that. But what I've noticing on my social media feeds is that the local business owners and everyone kind of coming together and saying, hey, like, support local, because when this is all said and done, like, who knows if all these local places will be open. Or to be able to sustain themselves through these next 2 or 3 weeks, or however long it'll take. So something that I've seen as a positive is that even though I am feeling kind of like obviously isolated or feel kind of like by myself right now and everything, I am seeing kind of everyone doing their best to stay positive and push the support local businesses and support local YEG. And that's something that I do like love about the city, mm-hmm. that we always come together at times like this. So
I think it's really awesome because even before this was happening, like you see a big part of the Edmonton community really striving to like support local businesses, like eat at local restaurants and like local clothing shops. And like, this has just really enforced the importance of that, right? Where like some people might not survive this, but it's like nice to see that the community can really come behind and rally each other during this time. It's really important.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And Scott said he is learning French.
Being taught by my daughter, really.
So your kids are in French immersion. So this has like been a
yeah.
Like, what a great idea!
It's funny. Comes to Rosetta full Stone. I might need to. It is funny. They go to Greenfield, and it's a French. You can always, you know, switch out of French to get into English if need be. And it's obviously crossed our mind, but I think we're all really lucky. Like South Edmonton is amazing. We got great schools. We got a lot of things we can do here. This whole process, you know, I'm stuck at home a lot until the later hours, and I'm very grateful because we're in a good position and we can like help people. Like I don't have to worry about my family or, you know, my wife or my kids, and my partners are both smart and they're well taken care of. So we can focus on good things. And like, just to think about that, like we're in a great spot. We're extremely lucky. You know, we work hard, but we're very lucky. We're fortunate. So It's good.
Such a like perspective shift. Hey, like I totally feel like just being able, like halting everything, and you have to like stay within the four walls of your house, like that whole thing. You just like, man, there's so much that I took for granted that I didn't realize it until you're like literally forced to. What's one thing you guys are looking forward to? Let's say we're like a year down the road, or, you know, like Edmonton, you guys are mostly born and raised here. What are you looking to get back to that you love to do or that you grew up doing, or, you know, something that you can't wait to do again?
You know, Jess talked about it earlier. When you're confined, you know, you have time to think. It's like the mm-hmm. world is kind of slowing down a little bit, and eventually I'm going to have time to think. And Jay has said some really, really smart things about our brand lately and ways to make it better. And, you know, Erin does the same thing. She talks to people and she gets out there, and, you know, it's time to see what other people are doing and where we can do things a little bit better. And that's really important because business moves so fast and it's so tight right now that you never get time to just sit and look at it and see it for what it is. And I think the way Jay looks at business is really, because we can talk now and like spend time just figuring out things. And he sees things in a completely different way than me. Like, and it's super interesting because, you know, I can just sit and watch him and see how he thinks. And what I think we're going to make our business stronger. You know, we're going to be able to add in our charitable component the way we want, and Jay can change our brand in ways that I think will be kind of more impactful and better for our employees and better for the community. And Erin's just always like in the trenches, like making sure everybody is taken care of and happy. And I truly think it's like when the fire wipes out the forest, it's like the green, like there's new growth, like there's this, mm-hmm. there's new opportunity and there's new growth. And maybe I'm just being an optimist and
no, you're
maybe
not.
Maybe a reverse, but I actually think for our business, it will be good. I just feel like we've been running 100 miles an hour and we're forced to stop and look and kind of reassess and see what we have. And I think it's going to be excellent. Like a year from now, I feel like if we had the same podcast, we would be in a really good position. Like it would be maybe the best thing that ever happened. Like who knows? It could be great for us. So that's what I'm going to hold on to anyway.
I love your optimism, Scott.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. I do think it'll be great. I really do.
You know what? I agree with you 100%. I think that like this forced reset is like, it has not been easy. You know what I mean? Totally. Like this virus is one thing, but the last, like, you know, Alberta has been under a lot of pressure lately and it hasn't been easy. And so we are just really working in the trenches. And so sometimes being able to look at our businesses and look at the people around us and, you know, look at everything from this like different perspective right now, I think is not a bad thing. And I know that some people are in bad situations, but as a whole, I think that it really, really makes you focus on what's important and make the changes that you've been wanting to make for a long time. And like I said, it's really taken the opportunity to use this time wisely as opposed to, you know, just do nothing, right? So I am with you as well. I think that I am optimistic. And I think, again, even the changes that we're going to see in the planet over this period of time, maybe we'll actually have people realize that we do need to pull back a little bit, you know, like the waters are clearer and the sky is, you know, less foggy. And like, there's just all of these things that are happening and those aren't negatives. Those are very positive things. And the opportunity to pull back and look at our businesses from a different, and maybe spend this time, like asking our clients what they would like to see us do differently, you know, just really engaging in those conversations and getting people's input, I think is important.
I think like from a personal level, it's like you can hit the reset button, right? It's like you can prioritize what is working, what's not, what can I do better? And then like as a community, for so long, it's been like this political thing going on in Alberta. And then there's the oil field thing. And there's like this, and it's felt like this for so long where people are just battling. And I think this is like, kind of like okay, wait a minute. We're all in this together. Like it's not us versus them. It's like we at the end of the day, right? So I'm excited to see the community element that comes out of this, of people that are just rising up and just, you know, really good people, and they want to support local, like Jason's talking about and like you guys are talking about. I think that is that's going to be the coolest thing that comes out of this.
I totally agree. It's times like this, it's great to be part of a great community like Edmonton, and like the restaurant, food, hospitality industry, still tight in the community as well, and everyone's rooting for everyone to get out of this better on the other side and to come out stronger. And like Scott said, it's just a chance for everyone to kind of reset, regroup, and then just start fresh again, or just to continue it. I don't want to say it's a blessing in disguise, because no pandemic is. I mean, obviously, but it's one of those things where like it is. In a way, if you want to pull a positive out of this or a silver lining, it's a way for us to just reevaluate what we're doing as a business and how we can kind of greatly impact our community in a better way. We want to just do more for the south side, do more for our friends and family, and just, it sounds very cliche, but just be better humans, I guess, or a better business model. We didn't get into this business to make a fortune. But if that's what we did, but we're not there yet, but we're just definitely doing this to create something, to create this family mentality that we have. And that's kind of what we have always prided ourselves on. We don't want to be known as the bosses or the owners. You want to come in and help and pick up a shovel and we'll dig with you. And we're with you on the front lines. And you're seeing that as well. Like times like this, like the true colors of kind of the owners that really care about their staff and the community and the people are really kind of coming through right now. And you really get a sense of it, and great to be a part of it. But also it's a very crazy time right now.
Short-term pain, hey?
Yeah.
Well, like Scott said, if we were doing this podcast a year from now, so we'll have to make sure that we do.
Do it March 19th.
Brainstorming partners, you know, some more Zoom meetings. Like, what do you think of this?
Because it'll be like Zoom pros by then.
Yeah. Well, I think that is like, you know, I think that's one of the beauty too, is just having like other people that you can ask questions to and, you know, their opinions. I think that it's important. And I mean, even, you know, Scott, I'll come to you and ask what I could be doing better and what did you appreciate and what are maybe some things that I can get rid of, you know, because with new things that come in, there's sometimes stuff that also needs to leave, right? To make room. So I think that it's, it's time that everybody could just make a couple little shifts. And I know that the party that I have when we come out on the other side will certainly be catered by you guys. But then you have to actually be able to, like, every time you come nobody will have a drink with me. You guys are like, no, we're working. We're working. So this will have to be a celebration.
Yeah.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah. Celebration.
Yes. We never drink while we're on shift. Never.
No.
Ever.
I know. I mean, it's good. It's good. I mean, I don't either. So none of us should. So what do you guys got planned here for the next... Jay, what's on your agenda for the rest of the night?
My agenda? Well, yeah. Let me tell you. Find a patio, smoke a cigar. No. In front of my TV and open up a bag of Ruffles sour cream and onions chips. This is my favorite, by the way. If Ruffles is listening, feel free to send some bags my way. Just on the TV and just, I guess, kick back and relax and do my best to shut my brain off to just enjoy the night.
Scott, Rosetta Stone?
No. I am probably going to go to Prov, and Daryl's been texting me about what's going on there right now, so I got to go figure out a couple things, and I want to be home before midnight, tucked in, and do it all again tomorrow. It's been fun. It's been fun so far with staying home a bit, so.
I actually can't see. I'm only have...
Where's Aaron?
Aaron!
I see her.
I'm here.
Oh, Aaron, what do you got going on?
I'm going to try to work out tonight to have some sorts of normalcy in my life.
Yeah.
And yeah, probably just watch a movie and take it easy tonight. Get back to life tomorrow. So.
Yeah.
You?
I'm going to send you all a list, actually. Because I have a to-do list. And we talked about it before we got on here that, yeah.
What do you guys have planned tonight? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've got a couple things to do. I took my afternoon off, so I've got like maybe a couple hours of work to do, but that's okay. I work good in the evening. Less interruptions.
Same with me. I got a little bit of a to-do here.
I think I gave you some to-dos. Sorry.
It's funny because my clients are now home.
Yeah.
All my business clients are like bustling and busy and whatever. Now they're home and now they're like... Like my inbox is blowing up with like, oh, we should do this, we should do that. And I was like, okay.
Well, maybe we'll come up with a plan. Yeah. But no,
it's like everyone, right? They have more time. So it's great. It's a good problem to have, right?
Yeah. No, we went for a walk in the River Valley tonight and it was awesome. Yeah. It was just a beautiful day and lots of people out there. So I think that's one thing. We're just going to see a lot more people just being outside, you know? And so throwing a, like, everybody was very friendly, wanted to say hi to each other. So I really felt the community today on my walk. So I'm looking forward to making sure we do that, you know, every day, maybe twice a day, because my doggy deserves it. And I know I feel better from it too. So yeah.
I feel like we've been going down to the River Valley too, and it's like, it's almost like I'm making a conscious effort to make eye contact with people, like to make sure that you're saying, like, it's weird because you obviously don't see a lot of people, and then when you do, it's kind of like you want to say hello, right?
Yeah. Well, I think that too, like I said, I think that this is, everybody's talking about it. Strangers are talking to each other about it. So it's like, I hope that after this, that we do, you know, talk to strangers a little bit more, smile at strangers, like always make the conscious effort to make like eye contact, you know? And I think that's something that is like, actually, when I lived in Toronto, I remember there's a grocery store underneath my place. And the lady was like, after a week of me living in there, 10 days, she's like, you're not from here, are you? Like, why? And she said, well, you're always like, come in, smile, say hi. And I'm like, oh, people don't do that. You know, so I mean, I hope that this part of the community, like, you know, continues after this, that we still feel connected to each other. Because right now this is, although it's not a good thing, it's a negative thing that's happening with the virus, or, you know, it has connected us. And so I hope that community kind of continues. So I think, you know, there's a couple positives, and I think that's one of them. So if we could all make, you know, the effort that we're making now to connect with people, we continue to do that. It's you know, we will be better at the end of it.
Your optimism and energy, though, is why you're so good at what you do. Like, honestly, like, it's just, you're always happy. Like, you always have been. Like, I've known you for almost 20 years. You're always smiling. You're always optimistic. You're always...
You're killing it, Jess. You're killing it.
It's why you're really good.
Oh, well, thank you.
In your industry, I think. It's, people want to be around you.
Totally.
They want you doing whatever. Like, it's true. You're, you know, polarizing. Dude, wait. It's nice.
I appreciate it. Ooh. You know, I think we could live in this darkness, but it takes more energy, I think, out of you, you know, for me anyways, I feel like if I'm like, you know, I just think about everything in my day is so much harder to do. So I'd rather just try and be the positive, okay. Feel the positive, yeah. And yeah.
Totally a choice.
I have bad days, trust me. And nobody wants to be around me on those days. I don't want to be around myself.
One of the concepts that we always discuss at the end is, obviously, this has been off of Legacy Egg and the stuff that we're doing with those events. And this is kind of our platform to share all the awesome people that we meet, share their stories with even more people. So one of the ways that we always wrap it up is talking about legacy and how you want to be remembered. And, you know, when your great, great, great grandkids are listening to this in the future, you know, what do you want them to think about, or what impression do you want to leave with them and your, you know, your team that you guys are surrounded with right now? You know, what's really, really important to you guys that would become a part of that?
Wow, that's great. I think Scotty and I talked about something like a while back that we kind of like the My Events and Catering or My Community charity that we have. And we say my all the time. It's just like M for Martin and Y for Yen. It's kind of what we thought would be a good kind of name for it. So we kind of want to do this thing where we kind of create this legacy thing for our kids and our kids' kids to like kind of move on from or to take with them. And that was kind of a legacy component. And that's something that we always want to establish, is this charitable thing that we can have our kids take on and build from and grow. And when they're obviously sitting around talking and like dreaming about things, we're like, man, it would be cool if we opened up like a rec center on the south side for kids. And it's like a My Rec Center or whatever it was that you could possibly do. And getting kids in sports or cooking or post-secondary or whatever it may be. We just kind of, obviously when you're kind of spitballing ideas, that's one of the big things that we kind of had in mind that we hope for anyway one day. But yeah, I think that's doing good for the community and being known for that. And that's something that I kind of wanted to always kind of leave behind. Also drinking a lot of Irish whiskey, Jameson's Irish whiskey. I drink a lot of that.
And sour cream ruffle chips.
That's the one. That's it.
Diet of champions right there. I think it's important to like really think about like what you're leaving behind, like being compassionate towards others, and like leaving a positive mark on the world and the people you meet in it. From even just doing little things to the big things, I think that's the best we could try to do for ourselves and for the people around us. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... I think obviously both of those are great, and just, I always think we just want to be around, I want to be around entrepreneurial people, people that are like me, people that really want to work hard. Erin is the perfect example of that. She started in our, you know, in our business 4 years ago, and it was always ours, like it was always hers, and she worked her way up through, and she was interested in ownership. And it's hard to find those kind of people. Like, she was motivated and driven, and I would love to continue to help and mentor and find those kind of good people and just like build a team that, you know, some of the, we have very lofty goals, opening a rec center and like feeding a bunch of people, but it's the people around you that truly do that. You know, if we found 30 people that are like us,
yeah,
like we can do anything with that. Like you can do amazing things. And it's, as soon as you get out of your little business world that really consumes so much of your time, and you start, you know, finding people that are, you know, strong and motivated and smart, and you know, they want to do better. Like, I want to build a huge team like that, and I want to give them everything I have, and Jay do the same. And I think we can, that's how we'll do those things. And you know, it'll probably come later in life when we can actually do it, but that's something I think you can really leave, you know, a great legacy, to be honest, of just business-minded people, and they want to do good things and charitable things. And that excites me, like just building a team of entrepreneurs. I just love it.
I love the my, because it gives everybody that's a part of it a sense of ownership. You know,
and that is exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, kids that are at the rec center is like, this is my rec center. It gives you like a sense of pride, you know, and when it's
totally
yours, it just makes you feel like you just want to be you know, we want to take care of it. You want to nurture it. Like, there's all of those things. Mm-hmm. So I really love that.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Well, we obviously think that you guys are pretty great, which is, you know, why we wanted to have you guys on here. And you supported us literally from the beginning, before we even had our first event. You guys are like, yeah. And all the way through, and you continue to, our last event was at the provincial. So we just wanted to say thank you to you guys. We think that, you know, you guys are obviously top shelf dudes, and Erin sounds like we need 30 more of her in this world, at least the minimum. So we obviously thank you for taking the time out tonight. We know you guys are busy and there's a lot going down right now. And we will support you in any way that we can. So
always.
Thank you. And thank you, Sherry. You're doing a great job, Sherry. You've created this great event, this great legacy. Is just an awesome organization, and you throw amazing events, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to participate in the things that you do for the community and all the positive that you've been kind of inspiring us to be doing. So that's great. Hats off to you, Sherry, for sure.
We're just getting started. Hey, just getting good. Started.
And I second that. 30 more errands.
Can we add a couple Jessies too, so I can?
Yes.
Yeah,
Jessie's good.
We just need to duplicate ourselves.
Totally.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh, that'd be so nice. Awesome. Well, thanks, very guys. Cool. Have a good night.
You as well.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
If you were inspired by our show, please take a moment to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen, and share with friends. You can always find show notes at loveyegshow.ca. Keep listening.